Having won the war, it was Artaphernes' task to win the peace. Ionian fields lay uncultivated, and whole cities stood abandoned in blackened ruin. As the Ionians starved, so inevitably, they began to scrap desperately over the few fields not lost to brambles. Artaphernes stepped in at once. Representatives of the various Ionian states were summoned to Sardis and briskly ordered to swear an oath of perpetual amity. Henceforward, all border disputes were to be settled not by the armed squabbling that was traditional among the Greeks, but by arbitration, backed up by the sanction of Persian force. As even the Ionians themselves acknowledged, this was a development not entirely to their disadvantage. To promote stability, to facilitate a regular flow of tributes, this, as it had always been, remained the satrap's policy. Terror having served its purpose, Artaphernes could now return to the winning of his subjects' hearts and minds. Having been made all too aware of the Ionians' distaste for tyranny, he was even prepared to indulge, in certain circumstances, their preference for democracies. After all, just as long as the king's peace was kept, it scarcely mattered how the Greeks chose to rule themselves. This indulgence was not extended, of course, to those who remained in arms. The longer that the punishment of Athens was delayed, the greater was the risk that terrorist states might proliferate throughout the mountainous and inaccessible wilds of Greece. Only fire, of the kind that had already purged the shrines of the Ionians, could possibly redeem Athens. In the spring of 492 BC, Darius dispatched a fleet and a fresh army to Thrace under the command of a dashing young nobleman by the name of Mardonius. Macedonia was formally absorbed into the dominions of the great king, whose remit now extended to the foothills of Mount Olympus. True, the victory was slightly tarnished when Mardonius's entire fleet was shipwrecked in a storm off Mount Athos, and Mardonius himself, launching an over-exuberant assault on a troublesome mountain tribe, was badly wounded. But these setbacks were hardly severe enough to undermine Persian prestige. In 491 BC, ambassadors were sent on an exploratory tour of Greece with demands for earth and water. Most cities, gratifyingly, scurried to oblige. Some, however, did not. Two in particular. In Athens, not only were the great king's demands dismissed out of hand, but his ambassadors, in blatant defiance of international law, were put on trial by the assembly, convicted, and put to death. The Spartans chose to blacken themselves with an even worse act of sacrilege. The great king's ambassadors were flung down a well, and told before they drowned that if they wanted earth and water, they could find it there. This, in its naked defiance and cavalier disregard for religious convention, had Cleomenes' fingerprints all over it. And when the Athenians, discovering that Aegina had handed over earth and water to the great king, reported the news to Sparta, Cleomenes travelled in person to berate the Medizers. The merchant princes of Aegina, however, with their dependence on international trade, were reluctant to offend the great superpower. Searching for a way to outflank Cleomenes, they appealed to Demaratus, his fellow king, who eagerly pledged his support. Cleomenes' counterthrust was brutal. Resolved to finish off his insufferable colleague, he approached Demaratus's cousin, a spiteful nonentity by the name of Leotokides, and promised him the throne if he would help bring down his kinsman. Leotokides raked up the old skeleton of Demaratus's legitimacy and took the case to Delphi for arbitration. Bribes guaranteed that the oracle duly pronounced against Demaratus, who was formally deposed by the ephors. Leotokides, pliable and venal, took his place. Cleomenes promptly returned to confront the Aeginetans, who capitulated on the spot. No longer would a Persian task force arriving off Attica be able to use Aegina as a base, and Persian agents were confirmed in their judgment of the Spartan king as their most dangerous and able foe.